Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you will learn, apply, and even begin to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us. It really is. Now, what's going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? First, during our radio seminar this week and for the next 3 weeks, you are going to focus on how to effectively teach and train the children in your life, ages 5 to 15, Bible-based financial principles and applications. And then after the seminar, we're going to move right into some great questions parents have about helping their children learn and apply what the Bible has to say about finances. Dave Ramsey is going to talk with you about his baby steps to financial freedom. Our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard is going to help you stay motivated so you can accomplish your money goals for 2024. And finally, John Maxwell is going to give us a game changer of a leadership lesson. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together with the Lord. So join me as we open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have a short multiple choice question for you. Okay, here's the question. How do you define stewardship? I mean, how do you define the word stewardship? All right, here are your choices. Is it A, giving money to the church? Is it B, being careful with your finances? Or is it C, recognizing that God gives you everything that you have and all that you are, therefore you should use all of your resources to His glory? What do you think? Well, my friend, I got to tell you that the time has come for our children to know and to recognize the answer to this question is C. All that I have and all that I am, well, it all belongs to God and to be used for His glory. Then after that, well, after that, the Bible tells us, of course, that we are to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, let me ask you, have you been longing for help to better be able to teach Bible-based financial principles and applications to the children in your life? And if so, what can you do? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm about to share something. As a matter of fact, I'm going to suggest three different things for you, three different things that you can do to be able to get ready and start out sharing God's financial principles with the children in your life. First thing, number one, you need to understand the current situation of most children in our country, in our area today, okay? For example, half of all of their parents are either divorced or they're going to be divorced. Remember that better than half of all marriages end in divorce, even Christian marriages. So better than half of the time, the children in our lives are going to be the products of broken homes. Now, the second condition is that 80% of their parents are in debt. Now, this is to say that on a month-by-month basis, most parents, most of the time, have a hard time paying their bills. Now, this normally leads to both parents working and therefore, well, tends to lead their children to be raised by other family members or well-intended daycare centers. Now, condition number three is this. Most parents today, well, most of us today as parents get into financial difficulties because we are untrained in some of the basic life living financial principles, which leads right to the fourth condition that our children face today. All parents instruct by example, whether good or bad. And you know that this is true. You see, if parents lack discipline, it's likely that the children are going to lack discipline. I mean, if parents tend to overspend, it's likely their children are going to do the same thing. If parents abuse their children, the data shows that their children will tend to follow this same example. You see, children tend to become what their parents already are. So the very first thing that you need to know before you start to train your children in the areas of Bible-based financial management is that there are many, many negative financial and social conditions that are impacting all of the children in your life. Okay, that's number one. Then, the second thing that you can do to begin to effectively train children to discover financial freedom God's way is to prayerfully set some goals for your children. Now the most important goal that I have for my children is for them to learn to trust God in all of the areas of their life, including their finances. Now, when it comes to trusting God with the financial areas of their lives, I got to tell you from personal experiences, some of our children are going to learn faster and easier than we did. Now, if I want my children to learn to trust God financially, according to the Bible, I'm going to have give them a chance to succeed and to fail financially. This means that I'm going to have to learn to discipline myself not to always buffer my children from all that is going on around them. I know you've probably heard of the late Dr. James Dobson, great child psychologist, wonderful guy out in Colorado, good radio program. Listen, according to Dr. Dobson, one of the problems we have today is a generation of parents who had their parents bail them out of every problem they ever had. You see, so many of today's parents are trained by example to buffer their children from all of the children's problems. Well, we need to remember that one of the principles that we talked about earlier is that as God is to us as a parent, so also we should be to our children. You see, God disciplines us, doesn't He? That kind of means that we should discipline our children as well, appropriately discipline our children as well. God allows us to make choices and learn from the consequences. We need to responsibly do the same thing for our children. This means that we need to create situations in which our children learn to trust God financially. So what can you do to help build Bible-based financial principles and applications into the lives of your children? Well, first of all, you got to understand that there's a whole bunch of negative influences and conditions that bombard the lives of your children. And secondly, you need to set some prayerful goals. And number three leads us right into our Q&A time together. Number three is, well, you need to learn not to be fearful about asking for help to learn how to teach your children about Bible-based financial management. And what we're finding is that there are an awful lot of people who are doing just that. They are asking questions. They're asking for some help. Here are some examples. First question that we received, by the way, from real-world people here, okay? Reverend Lauder, my teenagers are starting to receive credit card offers. I'm concerned that they're going to get trapped by easy credit. Help! What can I do? Oh, my goodness. Great question. And Pat, I got to tell you, not only is it a great question, that you really do have good reason to be concerned. You see, youth today, particularly college students and even some upper-level high school students, well, that's a group of folks that are major targets for credit card companies. No wonder they're getting all those applications. So what can you do? What I suggest is that you teach your older children, 16 years and older, how to handle credit cards by letting them have and use one card of their own while they are still at home and under your supervision. Now, I have to tell you, yes, I know, that is not what you're going to hear from Dave Ramsey. And I have to tell you also, he's forgotten more than I'm ever going to know. But I will tell you one thing. I don't think that there is anything inherently wrong with credit cards. Why? Well, because the data shows that it is the way the cards are used that causes the problems, not the cards themselves. But you have to provide some supervision. Now, what do I mean by supervision? Well, you need to set some firm rules and then stick to those rules. For example, rule number one, require your teens to have and use a monthly budget. And that means you need to consistently review their monthly budget to make sure they're doing just that, living on their budget. Number two, don't let them charge anything that's not on their budget. Number three, And by the way, these are the same rules you should be following in your credit card use as well, right? Sure they are. Number three, ensure that they pay their credit card bill in full each month. Number four, the first month they can't or don't pay off the credit card bill in full, you're going to destroy the card, you're going to cancel the account, and you're not going to let them have another one for at least a year. And then number five, last one here, let your teens know that these are the same rules that you follow. Let them know that those are the same rules that you follow and why it is important for you to follow those rules. Share some of your experiences with them. You see, it's important to explain, and by the way, note the word explain. It's important to explain, not debate these rules in advance, okay? Then stick to the rules. And if you do, you're going to be helping your teens form habits that are going to serve them well, even when they're no longer under your roof or under your authority. Remember, Proverbs 22:6 says that we are to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then Larry Burkett, my hero Larry Burkett, used to say, establish fair rules, enforce them consistently, and be firm. Be firm. Thanks. Again, Pat, great question. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here's another one. Jennifer has another question for us. Dr. Lauder, my husband and I are middle-class parents. We have a nice home, no debts, and we have money in the bank, praise the Lord. Here's our question. How much should our children know about our finances? We are concerned that we might create a false impression that we are rich. Jennifer, that's a great question. And I have to share with you right off the start that in my opinion, this is truly a matter of personal opinion, okay? You see, because basically, I got to believe it's best to be totally honest with your children, age-appropriately honest. You know, probably best in their teen years. If you are earning and giving and saving and spending according to God's plan for your life, which appears to be the case here, according to your question, then why not show your children your plan and then help them develop and start to live on a plan of their own? You know, help them develop positive expectations of what can happen if they learn and apply biblical financial wisdom to their personal finances. Now, honestly, wisdom is a blessing at any age, right? And as it says in Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold? All right, Jennifer, thank you. Great, great question. The final question that I want to share with you today comes from, I believe it was Frank. And Frank asks, should I give my children an allowance? I love the question. Short and sweet. And before I respond, let me ask you, how would you respond? I mean, have you worked through the allowance question in your life and in your family? I mean, how did it work out? Good thought. Think of your own experiences. Well, let me share you a little bit of counsel that we'll share with Frank. First of all, I would suggest that you recall, Frank, I'd suggest you recall Proverbs 3:12 that says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son he delights in. You see, what I found is that it is not wise to teach your children to expect allowances. I got to believe a better way is to teach your children how to work and earn money. You see, the word allowance seems to imply something that is given rather than earned. If God does not provide us with an allowance, and of course he does not, then we probably ought not provide allowances for our children. However, I got to tell you, if you have a child who demonstrates discipline in handling money and you want to give him or her a gift from time to time, man, that seems to be just fine. It would seem to work out just fine. The key is to be certain that you are establishing long-term values in your children that are going to, well, they're going to guide them as adults. Okay? Great question, Frank. Thank you very much. Now, As you may recall, it has been my great honor and privilege to be a Dave Ramsey certified financial coach, oh my goodness, for a whole lot of years. And one of the key financial teaching I learned and applied from Dave and have been passing along to others for a whole long time has to do with his financial baby steps to financial freedom. Given all that we're talking about today, well, today just might be a great day for you to learn about Dave's baby steps directly from Dave. So let's take a listen.
So George, 30 years ago when I started teaching this stuff, I was first teaching people how to get out of debt, live on a budget, be generous, live on less than you make. So you have a plan, you avoid debt, you save money for emergencies and later for investing. And all of those principles work, but people kept saying, which one do I do first? And so I started laying out, well, you should do this first and that first. You should have an emergency fund before you start your 401k. Then I figured out it's easier to have an emergency fund if you don't have any payments. And so you need to get out of debt first. Because, of course, I learned my lesson the hard way, going bankrupt and getting out of debt and learning how important it was to be debt-free as a process, as a part of building wealth. All of that started to formulate after a few years of teaching in various settings and what became Financial Peace University. It used to be called Life After Debt. And it started becoming what we now call the baby steps. And the interesting thing is that now the baby steps have gone into the Total Money Makeover book, which has sold almost 10 million copies. And they have become the proven plan, the shortest distance between where you are now and wealth. If you'll live like no one else later, you can live and give like no one else. What is the shortest distance? And we need a path to run on, because the way you eat an elephant, it's overwhelming. Do I do my 401k with the match or my kids' college? Or do I have an emergency fund? Or do I pay on this 18% credit card debt? Or, and nothing gets done. You get paralysis of the analysis. You get frozen.
Absolutely. And this step, these baby steps have worked for me. They've worked for millions. And it's really simple. If you do it, they work. And it all starts with baby step one, having this foundation, saving $1,000 for a starter emergency fund. This is just a small buffer between you and life before we start tackling the debt.
Exactly. And if you have $1,000 already, great. Just set that aside. That's your baby step one. Any money you have that's not retirement, anything you can sell that is not retirement, you're going to liquidate it. If it's not retirement, you got some stock over here that grandpa left you. You got a gold bar under your bed. I don't know what it is, but you got any money that's above $1,000. Maybe you got $10,000 in a savings account. That's $9,000 you've got that you don't need past baby step one. We're going to put it all on baby step two. And baby step two is the famous one. That's the debt snowball, where you list your debts smallest to largest. You pay minimum payments on everything but the little one, and you attack the little one with a vengeance. Side note, baby step one should not take you more than 30 days. You need to work extra, sell some stuff, have a garage sale, put the kids on Craigslist, whatever you got to do here. Let's get it done. Baby step two, you should be debt-free, but your house. Now, you may have to sell a stupid boat. You may have to take an extra job. But most people that have followed the Total Money Makeover baby steps in Financial Peace University are debt-free inside of 2 years.
And that's with doing it with some gazelle intensity, like you talk about in Financial Peace University. And once you pay off all that debt, now you've freed up all those payments. We're breathing easy. And then we can move on to baby step three, where we save 3 to 6 months of expenses in a fully funded emergency fund. This is the final buffer where we say we're never going back into debt, because we are the bank now.
Yep. Grandma's rainy day fund. Why? It's going to rain. Dave, you need to be positive. I'm positive. It's going to rain. There's a pandemic coming around every corner. There's something coming. And if you have $20,000 cash in the bank, 3 to 6 months of expenses, whatever it is, and you have no payments, you're ready for life. You're ready to go. Now you're ready to build wealth. But that you just now have gotten up to ground zero. You've just now gotten up to even. When you have that emergency fund and you're debt-free, now you're ready to build wealth. And in baby step four, you put 15% of your income aside into good growth stock mutual funds in retirement plans. Start where there's a match. Beyond the match, always do Roth. And if you've exhausted Roth and match and still are not to 15%, then go on to a traditional 401k or IRA. But do Roths before traditional and do match before Roths. It's mathematically in your favor to do that, up to the 15%. Don't do 20%. Don't do 11%. Do 15%. While you are doing baby steps four, you're also going to be doing five and six simultaneously.
Absolutely. So baby step five is where we're saving for our children's college fund. And this is going to look different for everyone. There's no set number here because it really depends on your situation.
Did you have the baby last week or is the baby 18? That makes a difference on how much you need for college, right? I mean, what you got to do for college. They have to go to college debt-free. They cannot participate in this epic student loan system failure that is called America right now. It is horrible out there. Do not let your kids go in debt. You do not have to go to debt. Go to community college for free for 2 years. Go to in-state school. Work six jobs. Get scholarships. Our student loan problem is a parenting problem. Mom and dad let kids sign up for crap they couldn't afford. Bad mama, bad daddy.
They got to have the conversations. That's where it starts. And so, there's a reason you say baby step four, invest for yourself before the kids, because there's a 100% chance you're going to retire. There's a 50-50 chance or less these days that your kid's going to go to college.
And graduate.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is less than 50% chance they're going to graduate. So while you're doing 15%, you do whatever you need to do for your kids' college, whatever you decide to do for your kids' college. Beyond that, if you can find any money, you do that on baby step six, and that's pay off your house. Start chunking on the house. Now, when you're in one through three, you are so intense, your friends are freaking out. Your grandmother thinks you need counseling. You are gazelle intense like a gazelle running from a cheetah. When you're in four through seven, you're not intense anymore. You are now intentional. You're just doing it on purpose, but you're no longer on beans and rice. You're on beans and rice, rice and beans, scorched earth on one through three till you get those three things done. Now, get that house paid off. The average person following this stuff is paying off their home in about 7 or 8 years. That tells us that the whole program is taking about 10 years, and the average baby steps millionaire, the average everyday millionaire that we've studied, we're finding them become a millionaire from the time they start with intensity followed by intentionality, become a millionaire in about 10 and a half years. 11.2 years, 10.6 years are the two numbers we keep running into. So this is completely possible.
And once you pay off that house, it's time to build wealth and give outrageously in baby step seven. That's where it ends.
Yeah, you will be a millionaire shortly after your home is paid for if you don't at that moment. And then you continue to build wealth and you raise your generosity and you continue to build wealth and you raise your generosity. And you enjoy the money at
that
point.
That's where it gets fun.
These are the things. The only three things you can do with money, and you should do all of them at baby step seven. And that's the route you're going. That's where you are. That's who you are. That is the baby steps.
Wow. Man, what a great teaching from Dave Ramsey. How can you put all of this into practice? Why not buy Dave's book titled The Total Money Makeover, or even better, talk with your church about hosting Dave's Financial Peace University. Great word. Thanks, Dave Ramsey. My friend, a recent study from Fidelity Investments discovered that 72% of Americans are confident their finances are going to improve in 2024. It also reports that 68% say they are still working to achieve their top three New Year's financial resolutions, which happen to be saving more money, paying down debt, and spending less money. Now, on the other hand, there's a whole lot of us who have let our New Year's resolutions, particularly the financial ones, begin to slide, or maybe even we're ignoring them completely. So let's take just a moment to relook at our 2024 financial resolutions, okay? What can you do? Well, here are some great tips from our consumer advocate friend, Clark Howard, to help you stay motivated so that you can accomplish your money goals in 2024, okay? You ready? Four tips. Here we go. Number one. Tip number one, start small. Choosing a goal like max out my retirement account is pretty ambitious, and that could take you the whole year to do. Other goals like check my credit report, man, that's free, and it can be done in a single afternoon. You see, one small win could be just the motivation you need to begin to tackle the big goal, your big goal of this year. So tip number one, start small. Number two, post your goals where you can see them. I know that you know that writing down your goals is a great way to visualize what you want to accomplish. For example, you can use a small piece of paper to list your resolutions and then put that list on your refrigerator. Maybe put a post-it note on your car's dashboard. So start small, write them down. Then tip number three, check your progress regularly. You know, a lot can happen between January 1st and December 31st. Hey, a lot's happened between January 1st and the beginning of May, right? So it is important to track your progress. And a simple way to do that is to simply set aside a time, maybe once a month, maybe once a quarter, to analyze your current financial situation and, if needed, to make some changes that are going to help you achieve your goals. Tip number four, talk about your resolutions with your family, with your friends. And again, I know you already know that a good support system that can rally behind you and inspire you when you're feeling discouraged, man, that's important. And enlisting your family to participate in a money-saving challenge or maybe even joining a community on social media can help you stay motivated to achieve your resolutions. Those are four tips from Clark Howard to help you pick back up on your 2024 financial resolutions. Okay, what were they? Step number one, start small. Number two, write them down and post them where you can see them. Tip number three, review your progress on a regular basis. And tip number four is to talk about your resolutions with your friends and your family. And let me add one other thing, okay? I'd like to add to what Clark says by reminding you to make the whole New Year's resolution restart process a matter of prayer. Bathe your resolutions and your goals in prayer throughout the rest of 2024. Now, let's start to wrap up our time together today with one of the highlights of all of our times together. Let's spend a minute with Maxwell, as Christian author, teacher, and speaker John Maxwell shares us a game-changer leadership lesson.
I love sports, and once in a while, I'll watch a game or I'll see a person, and something happened that was a game changer. John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. I don't think there are a lot of game-changing decisions to make, but every once in a while you step forward and say, that made a difference. It made a difference for me, made a difference for my team, made a difference in my life. When you come up to what I call a game-changing decision, I want you to understand that you have the capacity to make that decision. It may be a little scary for you. It may be something that you kind of have to take a deep breath on. But I think that you have the ability to make the right decision if you just kind of believe in yourself and just say to yourself, I'm going to take action on the thing that I'm deciding about. My father used to give me a little parable when we were growing up. He said, you know, John, five frogs are on a log. Four decide to jump off. How many frogs are left on the log? And I'd say, one. And he'd say, no, five. He said, just because you made a decision to jump off the log doesn't mean you did. He said, it's action that gets you off the log. A game-changing decision always requires action. No action, no game-changing decision at all. So, you're on the log. You're making a decision, perhaps, to do something important in your life. You just want to sit there and keep making that decision, or do you want to take action and jump? Jump, my friend. When you hit the water, you'll be so satisfied that you're not on the log with those other frogs. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Thank you, John. And that's it. That's all we have time for today. It's been another great day together. Let's end up as we started, and that is with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you. We thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come, to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we will see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.